Welcome to the Women in Power podcast, where women entrepreneurs share their stories, struggles, and accomplishments. We are here to listen to women in all walks of life, from starting a business to running million-dollar companies, from personal to business, and everything in between. Let's get started. Here's your host, Bree Logue.
Hey everyone, this is the Women in Power podcast, and I'm your host, Bree Logue. Today we have Heather Clayson with us. She is the CEO of Wellness Engage. She is ISSA certified personal trainer and nutritionist, runner, barrel racer, and the fun aunt. Oh, I love that. I'm super excited to chat today.
I'm excited too. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited. When I saw barrel racing your thing earlier, and I was like, is that like straight from Yellowstone? That's what I was thinking, you know, the TV show.
those jokes are only kind of true.
I love that stupidity. We'll definitely go over more about your bio too, but we'll start. Tell us a little bit more about you and what you're currently working on.
So, let's see, I've been full-time self-employed for about 2 years. I've been building my coaching business. I think I've been a coach for about 8 years. So I was working in healthcare. I ran pathology labs prior to coaching, and then I didn't want to comply, and so I just decided to quit and do my own business in 2021. So that's kind of how, you know, kind of created that transition for me. Right now, I'm currently working on kind of retreats, sort of thing. I'm divorced. I've been divorced about 5 years, and going through that, I just realized it's hard to make friends as a grown up. And so transitioning through that, like I had my friends that, you know, just getting married, having their starting their family kind of thing, where, you know, I'm divorced, no kids. And so then it was like, I don't have anyone to connect with in this space. You know, I had obviously a few friends who had been through a divorce before that was kind of like, hey, you know, this feeling, this is going to come up, just be aware, this. And so I'm like, we need more of that. We need more opportunity to connect, to share, to, you know, bridge those gaps for each other. And so that's something that I've been working on. Since then, this summer, it's kind of been fun. You know, I dabbled a little bit with it about a year ago. I want to do kind of like a monthly hangout, but like we're learning as well as like having fun and getting to know each other. So that's what I'm working on currently.
Oh, that's so cool. I love in-person events. We've been doing networking events and some like bigger speaking events. This year was like one of our big goals. We've done two events and like three or four different like networking opportunities for people around here in San Antonio. Just because we moved to a brand new city and didn't know anybody. And that, you're right, making friends when you're older is very difficult. Like no matter what you go to for a job or anything, it's hard to make friends in a new city. So that definitely was super beneficial for us. And we've made some really cool connections just doing that too.
Yeah, awesome. See, and I'm like, oh, I could move away somewhere. But then I'm like, then what would I do for reals? So networking events.
Yeah, networking events definitely help. Especially as an entrepreneur, you know, you can always meet other people.
Yes, that.
So you said you worked in labs. So did you always know you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Kind of, and then how'd that transition go for you?
So, no. I didn't always want to be an entrepreneur. So I had kind of a rough childhood, you know, 15, 16 years old, just a realization that I needed to find something that I didn't have to depend on someone else. So I'm like, okay, I got to go to college, you know, I got to be able to pay my own bills, stuff like that. And as I started my college career, I was studying exercise science, which, you know, 15, how old am I? 20 years ago, it wasn't a thing then. So exercise science was just, you know, coming onto the scene and making, you know, the opportunities and stuff that are available to that now was not there. So my mom so sweetly told me to get a real job. So I started out to be nursing. And again, you know, getting into nursing school was tough. I was paying for college as I was going, and they're like, you're going to need to retake these classes where you got a B plus. And I was like, I worked hard for that B plus. I don't know that right. I'm going to be able to better that. Anyway, so then I was like, all right, I'm going to have to figure something else out. So at the time I was working for a dermatologist, and he helped me find pathology. And so I went through, got certified that way, and was about 6 years into my career in pathology, working at a hospital, when I went back and started working on my personal training certification. And so then that was the first steps. So entrepreneur is very foreign to me still, even.
I know, right? Even I'm like, 6 years in now, and I'm still like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. Like, I don't know how people know all these things.
Just guess. And it works or it doesn't work.
Exactly. That's all we're doing, you know, just making it through. So personal trainer, sounds so fun. So do you do mostly everything online, or are you doing kind of mix online and in person? How's that work?
So I work more kind of as a consultant. What I do is I meet with my clients, both in person, well, either in person or online, 30 minutes a week. So I look at a lot of kind of accountability. We aren't taught to be accountable to ourselves. And so what that looks like is I give you your meal plan. We write it together so that it's stuff that you'll like, that you'll enjoy. I'll give you your workout. So you're kind of on your own to, again, create that space, that accountability for yourself versus, hey, I'm at the gym, where are you, kind of thing. And, you know, kind of talk about, okay, I have, you know, a party coming up or a vacation coming up, and I help walk you through what that looks like so that we can still enjoy our lives, but make progress towards our goal as well. So a little bit of both.
That's really cool. Like, I feel like whenever people talk about, you know, I feel like everybody has a different like view on nutrition or what people should be eating. It's just so funny to me. Like, I see, I'm friends with a lot of like coaches, and they're all like, oh, one person, you know, is a vegan, the other one's a carnivore, and this person's, you know, all a keto coach. I'm like, oh, it's so incredibly confusing. I feel like for people to be like, which way do I go? Do you have any advice for people who kind of don't really know where to start on their journey?
My biggest thing to teach my clients is what do you see long term? So if you do kind of take that approach of being super restrictive, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, are you going to be able to keep up with that? And so, you know, I have some basic rules that I kind of just tell people, like, use your hand, you know, if you're worrying about like portions, what does that look like? So like your protein would be like the size of your palm, make a fist, that would be like your carb portion. And then your thumb would be your fats. And so that's like cheese, sauces, avocados, that kind of stuff. And then I kind of just tell people, you know, you can go like 3 plates, 2 snacks. I do more of the kind of fuel your body throughout the day approach, where like there are so many different approaches and so many different things that work. And so it's like, where do you see yourself long term? Are you looking for just a quick, you know, quick drop on the scale? Are you looking to build muscle? Are you looking like there's so many different approaches. And so finding one that's sustainable to you, that works and makes sense, so that you're learning and understanding why you're doing what you're doing, versus this is what I was told to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's the big thing that I really learned myself. And I feel like I should have hired a nutritionist like a very long time ago, but it's been a lot of trial and error. And now I do know what works for me and like how much I should be eating. And my body's like, I'm very aware of how I feel when I have food now, but it took so much trial and error. And that's why coaches are so cool, because you can just bypass the whole step and, you know, have somebody teach you
and know what to watch for.
Exactly. Yeah. That's awesome. And so you said you help with the workouts too. So that's even cooler. So you got both sides.
Yes, I do. And that, again, you know, what are your goals with that? So usually I tell my clients our goal with that is we want to challenge our body at least half our life. And so when we break that down on a scalable level, that looks like at least 4 days a week. I do encourage more strength training, resistance type training over cardio. I want to make sure your metabolism is being able to run as best as it can. And our skeletal muscle was responsible for running that. So we want to make sure we have, that the breakdown, like when you get sore after you work out, the breakdown rebuild, that's the process that runs our metabolism. So the more skeletal muscle we have, the higher our metabolism is. And when our metabolism gets out of whack, we get three things kind of go haywire. Our hormones, our energy crashes, and then we get cravings as a result of each one. So I look at more, like I said, getting your metabolism able to function and do its job. And then everything just kind of falls into place after that.
Nice. So do you get like blood work from people too when you first start out with them?
I don't. That I leave that up to them. That's kind of where, if they do have an issue coming from a doctor, I'm obviously not a physician, even though I have worked in the healthcare. I do just kind of, let's see, where was the last person I had? She, diabetic, and she was diabetic. She was able to cut her insulin usage in half, as well as I believe it's metformin that helps also to kind of regulate things. It's from twice a day to once a day. I've seen improvements like that, both type 1 and type 2 diabetic clients as well. And so just understanding how to balance your blood sugar, how to make sure that, when our blood sugar gets out of whack, that's when our energy falls into place too. So that's another reason why I do, like they said, the three plates, two snacks approach kind of thing is, when our blood sugar gets too low for too long and then we eat, it spikes and drops. And so when it does that whole spike and drop thing, like we get kind of 2:30 afternoon where you just feel like you're like, oh, reaching for some caffeine, something to give you that pick me up. So what I try to do is balance, keep that balance. And so we kind of can, smooth throughout the day where your energy's level, as well as you're feeling better.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's definitely a big thing to realize. Diet is definitely directly connected with your energy levels. And that's something I just never thought of before. It's not really talked about very often.
No. And even like with our nutrition, like we don't really know what it means.
Yeah.
Like we're all just guessing. Like you said, I should have hired somebody, and I get people are like, oh, like, I don't want you to get mad at me. I'm like, I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm trying to educate you. And that, me getting mad at you because you ate a cake would be, I have to get mad at myself. Like I eat cake. I eat not every day, but it's just understanding like those are celebratory and that's what it's intended for. And so, like I said, I teach you how to do all that and make this choice over that choice so you can still participate and, go out and enjoy with your friends and your family. And like I said, lifestyle more so than just drop a quick 20 pounds.
For sure. Yeah. It's definitely the best way to do it anyways. Something that's actually going to be long-term. I think that is the thing most people struggle with. At least I know we just went to a barbecue this weekend and now it's like, oh, I know like I could, have all these things, but I know the things are make me feel sick tomorrow. And I was like, it was a Sunday. So I was like, I know I'm working tomorrow. And I know if I eat these foods, I'm going to wake up not feeling like 100% me or not feeling like on my best. And I know I have things to do that I need to work on tomorrow. So it's like, I'm just opted, not for all the extra sugar and things and just for the things I know that my body can handle. And it's taken me a very, very, very long time to like think ahead like that. Not so much like, oh, the moment, these sugars taste good, but I know now it's like, oh, I know that, tomorrow is not going to make me feel, or 2 hours from now, I'm not going to feel my best. Like,
yeah, what's worth it, what's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's still worth it. I still have ice cream, ice cream's still my favorite.
You gotta enjoy it.
It's life, you gotta do both. So back to entrepreneurship, sorry, I'm a little off track there. So what were some of your biggest struggles and setbacks when you first started your business? Because I noticed you said 2021, which was the height of the pandemic, if I remember correctly. So that's a whole thing in itself. But what was kind of something that you really struggled with when you first started and kind of how did you overcome it?
So when I was, when I met my mentor, I was engaged. I just finished my second full marathon. And like I said, understanding now about the metabolism in our bodies and how they function. So I met my mentor. I was engaged and was, you know, making awesome progress. And I loved everything about what he was teaching me. And so I begged and begged him. I'm like, please teach me how to do this. And he was kind of like, I don't know. And why do you think you're good at it? I'm like, I listen to people. Like I love to teach people. And so, you know, I got married. He agreed to be my mentor. And so I was working at the hospital full time, and I would leave a half a day a week to go train with him. And the hard part about entrepreneurship, I feel like, is you have your vision and not everyone is going to see it, nor do they need to, but you need to believe in yourself enough to go for it regardless, you know, whether you have that support or not. So as I was taking those steps to learn to do this, my mom very much encouraged me to not burn my bridges at the hospital. And at this point, I'm like, I'm 28. Like, I got a house, got a car. Like, I think I'm good. I think I know what I'm doing at this point in the game. Through the process, got married and married someone who was not supportive. He very much openly hated and told me that he did not like that I was coaching, did not like that I was learning to build a business. And so it's interesting to, you know, when people are like, oh, how did you do it? I'm like, I didn't have a choice. I had bills to pay. I had hobbies. I needed another source of income. And so entrepreneurship was, like I said before, was never a thing for me, but there was a realization while working in that lab that this is all I'm ever going to have. This is all I'm ever going to, you know, and I'm, you know, have a home, all the things, like I said, but I want a big life. I wasn't put here just to pay bills and die. And so I had to figure out what that was for me. And I didn't have support to, you know, help me through that. I had to work full time while I was pursuing this. I luckily had an amazing mentor who, after about 2 years of working for him, he's like, hey, you start an LLC, you do this on your own. Like, you got to go figure this out. So literally in 2020, I, business name, everything, stepped out from under, you know, his business. And that was probably my biggest year, was 2020. And the hard part about that too was I love the in-person, like you said before, like you just have a different connection when you're in person. So I never really wanted to do online stuff. Well, I was forced to, but then I was also able to reach people. I had clients in New Jersey, I had clients in California. And so it was super awesome to have, you know, be pushed into that, which wasn't awesome at the time, but, you know, pays off now.
Right. That's for sure. It's so cool. Like, that's one of the big things for me. It's like, I want to be able to work from anywhere. Like, when I first started my business, I was like, you know, cause I came from a retail background before this. And it's like, oh, I was trapped in this one store and, you know, and I had to live in this town that I didn't love. And it's like, now I can, you know, chose a city I really love. And I love living in Texas now. And one of the biggest perks is I can literally take my laptop and go work from anywhere if I want. And I don't do that as often as I think I should at this point in my life, but that's definitely one of the big reasons why I started, you know, because why I wanted to be an entrepreneur is that time freedom. But it's always something I feel like people put on the back burner too when they start. They want these things and they're like, oh, but that'll come, you know, 3-4 years from now.
Yep. And that was, so like with, you know, with my horse, like barrel racing, I like to go spend my winter in Arizona, and I can't do that if I have to show up every day to a certain location. So it's a lot of freedom, but also, you know, like anything, like change is difficult, but also too much freedom is also like,
Yeah. We're not used to that. So barrel racing, how'd you get into that? That sounds so fun.
Oh, just my whole life. Since I was 3, I've been a barrel racer. I rodeoed through high school, I rodeoed through college. My aunt barrel races, my sister, my nieces, it's a whole deal.
Oh, that's so cool. The whole family. That means everybody gets to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
Love that. Do you travel, like, do it still all across the country, or are you just kind of doing it for fun?
For fun, mostly just local. I actually yesterday just got back from Oklahoma. I was out there. I rode a horse for my friend. There's just an event out there that has to be a certain breeding in order for your horse to be able to compete there. And it's a lot of money to run for. So I actually just got back from that. So still going at it, not traveling all over the place, just more local type stuff.
Oh, nice. That's really cool though.
More training. Yeah. It's fun. Challenging.
So how do you manage your time? Because I feel like that's something everyone wants to know as an entrepreneur, and then you're doing all these fun things. How are you managing your time to be able to, you know, give yourself that extra time to do, you know, barrel racing or, you know, hobbies, things like that?
I very much time block. I sit down every Sunday morning with my coffee. I have a planner. It's kind of sassy. I found it on Amazon. And it has like a weekly quote. This week, what does it say this week? Oh, it says save your it's called the F it planner. So it says save your fucks for something special. So it always has fun little things like that. But anyway, so I sit down, you know, I have like a brief overview, you know, I'm here from this time to this time. I'm with clients this time to this time. You know, I have this appointment, like whatever, hair appointment, massage. I go to the gym this time to this time. This is what I'm doing when I'm at the gym so that I can be as effective as I can in that time so that I can get all the things done.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Time blocking has been a huge thing for me, especially planning. I've been planning out my days the night before, and that's just been like a huge game changer. Like, I don't think about it. I wake up the next morning and like, here's exactly what I'm doing at every hour of the day today. And
I think it was Wayne Dyer maybe. And he said the best time to plan your year, the best time to start your year is the end of your year. The best time to start your month is the end of your month. The best time to start your day is the end of your day.
Yes. That's a great
one. Powerful.
Yeah. It is. I love that. Yes, that is true. It's like, oh, I feel like if I forget to do it, you know, and I start the next morning, I feel like I'm already behind, or I'm not being intentional with my time. You know, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to sit here and, you know, watch an episode of this show because I don't have anything planned until like 11. And it's like, you do have things planned. You are supposed to be doing things before that, you know, scheduled appointment. But, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's free time. I don't have anything on my calendar. So.
Yes, 100%. Just zone out for a minute. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait.
Yep. Exactly. It happens too often. Too often. back to my questions here. Entrepreneurship has many ups and downs. How do you handle the bad days?
The bad days. When I'm having a struggle, I definitely make sure I get a workout in. That's a non-negotiable when, you know, I'm just not feeling, I'm like, okay, I can at least get something productive today. My horse, he is also my best friend. If I'm having a day where I'm just not feeling it, like I'll go hang out with him. He has a huge personality. If I have on like a hoodie, he'll pull on my hoodie string. He'll grab my zipper on a coat and like zip it. Like it's impossible to be in a bad mood around him. My brother-in-law is huge. You know, if I'm ever doubting myself, he also owns a business. So he's helped me a ton in overcoming, like I said, some of those struggles before with not much support. If I'm really, really in a bad way, I don't call my sister. I call my brother-in-law.
That's a really cool relationship to have, be able to call somebody like, oh, you already know what running a business entails. So it's always helpful to have that point of view.
Yes.
I also wrote down overcoming limiting beliefs. So what is one of your strategies for kind of starting? Because it's funny. I was at a Tony Robbins conference like 7 years ago when I first started my business. actually before, like a year before I started my business. And that's, somebody asked me yesterday about the conference and I was like, oh, one of the big things was overcoming limiting beliefs. We just talked over and over about, you know, I had to write down all of your beliefs and how, you know, you're going to overcome them. And it's always funny when I was like, oh, I'm reading through the notes today. And I was like, overcoming limiting beliefs, that's going to be so fun. We get to chat about that again today.
Yes, 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 yes. So what I learned, like, you know, through my coaching, stuff like that, as well as in my own life, is we don't realize that they're limiting us. And so I usually with my clients, I'll I had this happen, and then this happened. I'm like, okay, what were your thoughts about that? And a lot of times it surprised me. They're like, I didn't have any thoughts. I'm like, okay, well, let's pay attention to that. So what I've done for myself is I try to do, I go quarterly where I kind of keep track of, you know, how I want to spend the next 3 months, what kind of goals I want to set for myself in different areas. And I just try to pay attention to, you know, when I'm like, oh, what about this? And that next thought that comes up, is that next thought that comes up helping me, or did it just put a cap on where I was going? And it happens so quickly that you have to be so aware of it. And so what I like to do is I get curious. So I write it down. So when I say journaling, even with my clients, I'm like, I'm not meaning like dear diary. I mean like game planning, that kind of stuff. So my mentor also taught me this. So we went to a Tony Robbins event as a company, which I eat, sleep, and breathe Tony, everything. Like, he's so fascinating to listen to. Anyway, so we were at a company retreat and he just came down, you know, just check in, hey, say hi, what's going on in your personal life kind of thing. And I told him that my marriage was struggling and he's like, okay, what's going on? And I'm like, well, I just have a lot of anxiety. And so he's like, all right, let's get clear on it. So what I think a lot of people don't understand about anxiety is it's a whole bunch of emotions and we just go, I have anxiety and we want to make it stop. Well, ask it questions. What am I feeling? Angry, sad, scared, frustrated, whatever those are. List them all out. What's causing them? And so now we have a source. And what can we do about it? And then we list that out. So when Tommy taught me this, like I said, it was pertaining to my divorce. And he's like, so what's up? And I said, well, I'm worried about paying bills. He's like, okay, what else? I'm like, well, I don't want to lose my house. He's like, okay, what else? I'm like, I don't want a date. And he's like, okay. He's like, so pay your bills. He's like, what's up with that? And I'm like, I have 3 sources of income right now. That's not valid. And he's like, okay. He's like, losing your house. And I'm like, well, I can find somewhere else to live. He's like, okay. And then he's like, dating. He's like, you don't have to date. And so when you have someone that you can sit down and just have that real open, real intimate conversation of just the reality, but we get anxious, we're afraid of it, right? It's unknown, it's scary, that we don't realize that they are limiting us, and that 9 times out of 10 those were silly. Like they weren't even pertinent once I stopped and was like, actually, I'm okay. Actually, I can do this on my own. So just giving yourself that space to, number one, not be so judgmental with yourself. Get curious. Where did those thoughts even come from? Are they even your own thoughts? Or was it something someone said that you heard that you adopted as your own? And now you're living by that. But like I said, I think that the key is just to realize that they're your thoughts, but they're not hard truths. And asking yourself those questions and figuring out what is a truth for you versus just playing the same story over and over.
Oh, that's awesome advice. I feel like I've never heard anybody say that before, but you're totally right. I feel like when I am feeling anxious, it definitely is a umbrella for exactly like, it's just, you know, I'm nervous about one thing or I'm scared, you know, this one thing's going to happen. It's never like, you know, it's just, I feel like I do bundle all those emotions. And I think it's just because it's such a huge buzzword right now too. Everybody's anxious, you know, you hear it everywhere on the songs and the radios, you know, I feel like everybody's hyper aware how they feel, but they don't actually give it the correct name. That is so cool. And I'm definitely going to look more into that too.
Well, and we don't know what to do with it either. And so that's, now you have some steps you can take to be like, okay, I can process this instead of just being like, it's just here. I don't know.
Yes, right. I feel like that is the issue. Everybody's like, oh, you know, it's just, you have just to live with it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, emotions, you know, are meant to be felt and figured out. You know, it's not like something that's just going to go away.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I had so much fun chatting today. I have a final question for you. What tips do you have for women who they want to make the jump to entrepreneurship, but they're very nervous, or, you know, they're just starting their journey? What tips do you have for women who want to start?
Get clear on why. Why is this important to you? What is this, the solution? What's the word I'm looking for? What is it you're looking to build, to create? And why? If your why is strong enough, you will do whatever needs to be done. You'll do it. You'll do it working another job. You'll figure out how to, you know, manage time with your kids and your family and your hobbies. You'll figure it out if that why is big enough. So why is that important to you? And what is the solution? What is the solution to the problem you're trying to create?
Yes, solution is my word. Yeah. That makes sense. Right. You're trying to solve somebody's problems. No matter what business you're in, you're solving somebody's problems. Yes,
that's exactly what I was trying to say.
You got there, you know. Awesome. Well, actually, I lied. I have one more question. What is your favorite book?
Oh, my favorite book. One that I think taught me the most, it talks a lot about learning to treat yourself like you do other people in your life. Treat yourself like you matter. The book, I can't even remember who the author is. The book is called Pussy. But it's Virginia's, I can't remember. Anyway, she talks about how, you know, we buy a nice perfume or a nice lotion or nice towels and we save it for a guest in our house. She talks about how I didn't feel bright and bubbly, but yet I had to put on the bright and bubbly clothes and I didn't want to. And, you know, taking ownership and being true to yourself. And like I said, treating yourself like you matter. It was super, super awesome book to listen to on overcoming, you know, different things, kind of like a little bit of an autobiography for her as well. A little bit about herself and studying, you know, what she's, just femininity and the power behind it. But like I said, the biggest takeaway for me was treat yourself like you treat those who are important to you.
I feel like I've just started learning about that whole thing and it's been so fascinating. And that's definitely a book I'm going to add to my list because that sounds really fun.
I listened to it on Audible and just, you know, listening to get her influx and the stories and stuff behind it.
Yes, yeah, I love Audible. It's the best.
Exploring ourselves and learning to take care of ourselves because, you know, that's the other thing that like self-care, but we've never done it before. So we don't know what it means.
Right. Yeah. I know people like self-care and, you know, go to get your nails done. And like, for me, I'm always like, I hate sitting and getting my nails. So it's not self-care thing for me.
I don't have time for this.
No, exactly. I sit there and I'm like, oh, can you like hurry up? You know, I could have done this at
home. That's fine.
You know?
It's crooked. I don't care.
Exactly. I'm like, looks good enough. You know, I've been here for an hour, you know, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so bored. I come into something fun that I actually liked, you know, for me, it's like reading. Could have been at home reading a good book, you know, and here sitting at the salon. Yeah, I definitely tried to do that for a while. I was like, I'm going to do the thing that everybody talks about, you know, get massages and get their hair done and all those things. And it's like, oh, in the end, it's not how I relax. And it's definitely not a self-care thing for me. Yeah, right. Everybody has their own things and you got to find what works for you.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. How can people connect with you?
Thanks for having me. I have Instagram, wellness_engaged. Also have a personal Instagram. You can follow me on either one. I try to do different things on each, H_Clayson12. I also am on Facebook, and I have a TikTok, but I don't do much with it. So mostly probably just Instagram is where I interact most.
Cool. I'll have all those links in the show notes. Awesome. Well, thank you again. You gave some really great tips to everybody, and I had a lot of fun chatting with you.
Thank you. It was great. It was great to chat with you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Women in Power podcast. Please hit the subscribe and like button to see more episodes. New episodes air every Wednesday morning. So please join our Facebook group, Women in Power, for the latest updates and news about our podcast.